Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Mem Ched Amud Bet. The Gemara yesterday left off with the question of how do we know that Shechita and Kabbalah by a Korban Olah is Le'akev? And the Gemara's principle that it laid out was Klob Matzinu Tafel Chamor Mineikar. If Chatat learnt out from Olah the fact that it needs to be done in the north, and we know by Chatat it's Me'akev, then there's no way it cannot be Me'akev Etzel the Olah, because the Olah is the primary source, the derivative is Chatat, and there's no way that the derivative could be more Chamur than the primary source. And that's what the Gemara is about to challenge and bring other areas where maybe that is not true. Amale Marzutra Breid Marori Le Ravina. Vilo is not true. V'hare Ma'aser. When it comes to Ma'aser Sheni, Dehu Nifde, that you're allowed to redeem Ma'aser Sheni, and we're talking about Ma'aser Sheni, we're talking about Afilu B'Yerushalayim if it becomes Tamei. Ma'aser Sheni that becomes Tamei is allowed to be redeemed no matter where the Perot Ma'aser Sheni are found. V'ilu, on the other hand, Lakoach B'Kesiv Ma'aser Sheni, if someone takes money to purchase Perot of Ma'aser Sheni, that means that originally they had Perot Ma'aser Sheni, they redeem them onto coins, onto money, they take that money up to Yerushalayim, or even outside of Yerushalayim, they spend the money on the fruits, those new items, fruits, vegetables, foods, have Kedushat Ma'aser Sheni. Those items, if they become Tamei, Enu Nifte, are not redeemed. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Happens to be a machloket, a lekuach, bekesiv ma'aser, something that was purchased with the money of ma'aser sheni, shinitma, and then became tamei, yipadeh. It can be redeemed. That's the position of the chachamim of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yikaver. It must be buried. There is no redemption of ma'aser sheni when it's purchased with monies of ma'aser sheni. So the question, at least according to Rashi over here, is based on the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that when something is purchased with the monies of Ma'aser Sheni, it's no longer redeemable. If it becomes Tamei, you bury it. On the other hand, when it comes to Ma'aser itself, you can redeem the Ma'aser, even in Yerushalayim, even if it comes Tamei. Rashi says it's based on the pasuk, which is lo tuchal se'eto. Now the pasuk said of se'eto means that you're unable to carry it up, you're unable to take it up to Yerushalayim, therefore redeem it. The Gemara over there says the word se'et also means achila, because we have that from the pasuk v'yisa masot meipanav, that the word masot can also be meals or food. So therefore, when it says lo tuchal se'et, since you cannot consume it, you may redeem it. When can't you consume it? If it's tamei. So that gives one permission, according to everyone, to redeem Ma'aser Sheni if it comes to me. If these are the actual payrot of Ma'aser Sheni that became to me, you can redeem them. Yet, if you had redeemed the Ma'aser Sheni already and then purchased payrot Ma'aser Sheni with that money and it became to me, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you will be unable to redeem it. So here you have the tafel, the derivative, which is those things purchased with monies of Ma'aser Sheni, being more chamur than the primary. Ma'aser Sheni itself, which is the primary, you can redeem if it becomes tamei. The derivative, which is something purchased with monies of Ma'aser Sheni that were redeemed on coinage, and then used to purchase perot, if those perot become tamei, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not allowed to redeem them, but they get buried. That's it. Nothing to do. So Gemara says, Hatam lo alima kedushate the mitvas pijune. It happens to be a technical problem. It's not that the tafel is more chamur than the ikar. It's not that the derivative is as stronger or more stringent laws than the primary source. But rather, there is a deficit in the derivative. The deficit in the derivative is that its kedusha is not as strong. The kedusha on it is a weaker form of kedusha, which is unable to be redeemed. And that's the problem over here. When you're talking about Ma'aser Sheni itself, the Kedusha is in full force. That full force Kedusha can be redeemed onto coinage. On the other hand, when it comes to derivatives, something you purchased with Ma'ut Ma'aser Sheni, those Perot, the Kedusha of those Perot is somewhat less, is diminished compared to Ma'aser Sheni. That diminished Kedusha you cannot redeem. You can't take it off the Ma'aserot again, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda says you can't redeem it if it comes Tameh, because it's unable to pass the Kedusha onto other monies. Now that's the question, at least according to Rashi. Tosfos brings an alternative, which you can see in the Girsa Otavar Gemara, which says, Nitma in, lo nitma lo. Based on that Girsa in the Gemara, the question actually comes from the Chachamim. Then Tosfos seems to favor Rashi's Pshat, which is the Pshat that I gave in the Gemara, but just to be aware that there were alternative Girsas that brought the question from the Rabbanan. So now the Gemara tries another challenge to this idea, Baharei Tmura. When it comes to Tmura also, the derivative is more stringent than the primary source, Je'ilu. Kochim lo chayle al bal mum kavua. If you go to be makdish an animal that has a mum kavua in it, nothing happens. You cannot make kochim izbeach on something that has a mum in it. It only can be kedushat damim. It can only be kedushat berakabait. It cannot be kedushat mizbeach. It's not nitpas. You can't make something kodesh to go on the mizbeach if it has a mum in it. Ve'ilu ihi. When it comes to tmura, chaylo. In that when you say, I'm going to exchange this animal onto another animal, I have an animal that's already kadosh, b'kedushat ha-mizbeach, and then I want to swap it onto another animal, I'll swap it for another animal, then the Torah says, hu utmurato iya kodesh, the original animal plus the new animal is kodesh, and lo yivaker ben tov l'ra. It makes no difference whether the new animal is good or bad, and there the Gemara says, ra means even with a mum on it. That means that kedushat ha-mizbeach is tofes by tmura on a behema. So here, the primary source, if you're trying to generate Dushat Mizbeach, can't create it on an animal that has a Baal Mum. On the other hand, if you take Tmura and try to create that Kedusha on an animal, it works, and it's Nitpas. That's one. And number two, it also has to do with redemption. And that when the Tmura, when it's redeemed, it's Eno Yotzei L'Chulin L'Gazez V'Le'Aved. You can't take it out. Once it gets that Kedusha on it, can't redeem it in order to go use it or do whatever you want with it. It remains with that force of Kedusha when you do redeem it. Right now, the Gemara says, wait a minute, you have to look at it. You're not looking at the whole picture. Tmura mikoach kodoshim ka'atyo. Ukodoshim mikoach chulin ka'ati. That it's true that Tmura is a derivative of Kodshei Mizbeach. But on the other hand, it's also coming, or the way it's functioning is it's coming, or its source is Kedusha. On the other hand, something which is the first shot at making something kodesh mizbeach, the item is chulin. And you're trying to impose kodesh onto something that is chulin. Over here, you're taking kodesh and imposing more kodesh. So therefore, the power of tmura actually exceeds the power of the kedushat mizbeach. And that is because the kedushat mizbeach is coming from chulin. It's starting out from zero. And then you're trying to create it. It's almost like ex nihilo. It's nothing. And you're trying to create some sort of kedusha. And then in tmura, it's just extending an existing kedushat mizbeach. And therefore, it's hard to define the kedushat mizbeach. The original kedushat mizbeach is the primary source. And then the tmura is being derivative. Yes, technically that's true, but on the other hand, if you really look at it, the tmura is being driven by the primary source, and therefore it has more power, versus kedushat mizbeach, which is coming from nothing, which is starting from chulin and trying to create kedushat mizbeach, that's much more difficult. So to extend kedusha is easier than to create kedusha. And therefore, tmura will be more chamur than the creation of kedushat mizbeach because of that difference. So the Gemara says, alright, Vahari Pesach. What about Pesach? Dehu eino ta'un smicha nesachim utukva chazek v'shuk. You bring a Pesach, doesn't require smicha, doesn't require nesachim to come with it, doesn't require the wave offering of the chazek shuk, the matnot kuna. Vilu motardi day, Pesach that's left over after Pesach, zman Pesach ta'un, it's brought as a shlamim, and then it will require smicha nesachim utukva chazek v'shuk. It gets all the dinim of a shlamim. So here, the Pesach, the core, the primary, the Pesach, doesn't require any extras. All of a sudden, you leave it over. Motara Pesach, which is the derivative, that requires all the trappings of a Shlamim. Where it says, Pesach, b'shari mot ha-shana, Shlamimu. That's not hard to explain. It has nothing to do with being the primary Pesach and the derivative Pesach, meaning Pesach and Motar Pesach. A Pesach, not on Pesach, is a Shlamim. And then it has all the rules of a Shlamim. It's not that you're talking about Pesach and then derivative of Pesach. You're talking about Pesach and Shlamim. Those are two different items. So when you're talking about Pesach, that doesn't have all these trappings. When you're talking about a Shlamim, it has all the requirements of a Shlamim. So it's not, again, it's not a Tefel and an Ikar. It's rather an Ikar and Ikar. It's Pesach or Shlamim. And therefore, I can't say that it's one is the derivative of the other, and therefore it's more chamur. So that's the three attempts at disproving this idea that klum matzino tafel chamur min yakar. We did it with Meisr Sheini, we tried with Tmura, and now we just tried with Pesach, and each time the Gemara rejects it. So that will leave intact the reasoning why Ola is me'akev by Shechita, and Kabbalah doing it in the north is me'akev, is because its derivative, the Chatat, is me'akev, and certainly the Ola, which is the primary source, will also be me'akev. Now the Gemara offers an alternative, v'i bayitema. The other possibility is Amakra ha'Ola bimkoma tihe. That the Ha'ola with the, I guess, the Hayayidia, the Ha'ola says it must be in its place. Now, where's the Ha'ola? It's from actually by Chatat. When we say by the Chatat, Shechat oto bimkom Shechat et Ha'ola, or Shechat et Chatat bimkom Ha'ola. So the extra Hay by Ha'ola, when we learn out the Chatat from it, will tell us that the Ola itself also requires north. That additional statement of Ha'ola being bimkoma must be in its place, that will give us a second time that the Ola is mentioned, and that second time will be the Akev, because at the core time that's mentioned in the Parsha of Ola, B'shachat Oto Al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona, and now we have the additional time when it's mentioned by the Parsha of the Chatat, which is V'shachat Et HaChatat Bimkom HaOla. So that second HaOla will be the Akev from the HaOla, which is Bimkoma Tehei, that it should be in its location, in its place. So that ends our dealing with Chatat and Ola. Now the Gemara moves on to Asham. The Gemara says, Asham minolon. Where do we know that Masham debay tzafon, that it requires to be done in the north? So it says, Dichtiv, it says, Bimkom Asher yishchatu et Ola, yishchatu et Hasham. So that's found in Vayikra Zayin, which is Pasha Tzav, to do with Zot Torat Hasham, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu. Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et Ola, Yishchatu Et Hasham. So there you see the same location that you do the Ola, you do the Hasham. We know the Ola is done in the north because we have the pasuk by the Ola V'Shechat Oto Al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona. So just like the Ola is in the Tzafon, so too the Hasham must be done in the Tzafon. V'Ashkechan Shechita. So now we understand Shechita. Kabbalah minolan. How do we know that Kabbalah Tadam by the Hasham also must be done in the north? That has to do with the remainder of the pasuk that I just quoted, which is Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et Ola, Yishchatu Et Hasham, Ve'et Damo Yizrok. So the Ve'et Damo Yizrok is very similar to what we did with the Chatat. Just like by the Chatat, we said, well, it says V'Shachat Otal Chatat Bimkom Asher Yishchat Et Ola, and then the next pasuk begins V'Lakach Goyim Midam Chatat Betzbo, and we says the juxtaposition of the Kabbalah Tadam to the Bimkom Ha'ula, or Ha'ula teaches us not only is the Shechita in the north, but also the Kabbalat Adam. So the same thing here. The pasuk says, Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et Ola, Yishchatu Et Hasham, and then immediately afterwards in the same pasuk it says, Ve'et Damo Yizrok. So the Et Damo Yizrok is also being modified by the Makom Ha'ula, the same location in the north. And therefore, not only is the Shechita done in the north, but Ve'et Damo Yizrok, also the Kabbalat Adam, is also in the Tzafon. So Et Damo Yizrok, Kibul Dam, Nami B'Tzafon. Now, Mikabel Atzmo Minolon. How do we know that the one that is receiving the blood also has to be in the north? We saw that by the Ola and by the Chatat, that not only does the receptacle that's doing the Kabbalah have to be in the north, but he must be in the north. That the Oto, by Shechita, only the animal has to be, or the Shechita has to be done in the north, but the Shochet does not. We learn from that that the Mikabel does have to be in the north, or the other Limud that we saw yesterday was Vilakach, which means Lokach, that he himself must be in the northern side. How do we know that's true also by the Hasham? So the Gemara says, Damo ve'et damho. Because the extra word ve'et, it could have just said, Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et Ola Yishchatu Et Hasham ve'damo Yisrok. The fact that it says ve'et damo Yisrok, that et is a riboy, to include not only is the Kabbalat Adam, but even the Mikabel must be in the north. So now we have all three of them, Ashkechan the mitzvah. Now we know all three of them that you should do it in the north. Shechita, Kabbalah, and the Mekabel should be in the north. La'akev, minolan. How do we know that it's me'akev? It says, Kra achrina k'tiv. We have another pasuk, a pasuk that's found by the Asham Mitzorah in Perek Yudalad. It says there, B'shachat et akeves bimkom asher yishchat et achatat ve'et hola. So here you say that you have to shech the Asham Mitzorah, which is a kevesh, And you do that in the place where you shechted the chatat and the olah. Well, where do you shecht the chatat and the olah? It's on the north side. So now you have shechita in the north. So that's a repetition of shechita. Wait a minute, that's why you need that pasuk? You're saying that that pasuk doubles the mention of shechita in the north and that'll make it la'akev. We need it. We need that for a brayta. The brayta says, something that was part of a general principle, meaning that it should have been under, it should be a subset of a more broader category. But then, it has a new din that separates it from the category under which it's subsumed. Oh, you can't then place the item back in the general category until the pasuk explicitly returns it to its location. Ketzad, how is that? What's an example of that? The example is our pasuk that we just brought. For yishchata the keves v'mkom asher yishchata tachatat v'et ola v'mkom hakodesh ki kachatat hashem hu l'kohen kodesh kodeshim hu. There the Gemara brings down that there's a braita that uses this pasuk to teach us this. She'ein talmud lomar ki chatat hasham. Why is the pasuk telling us that the hasham is just like a chatat? Ma talmud lomar ki chatat hasham. So why is it telling us this? Lefi sheyatza hasham mitzora didon b'dvar chadash. Hasham mitzora should have been subsumed under the category of a shamot, and it should have all the general principles of an asham, and everything should be done based on the lachot of an asham. But something changed in the asham mitzorah, which is bebo'en yad, ubo'en regel, bo'en yamanit. The dam of the asham has to be placed on the big toe, the thumb, and the right ear of the mitzorah. Yochol do yehei ta'un matan damim ve'morim legabi mizbech. Now, since it's now left the general principle of an asham, it started out being a regular asham, so I would have just given all the dinim of asham. But all of a sudden, it took a right turn, literally and figuratively. Right, it has to have the right thumb, big toe, and the ears. The blood gets placed on it. So now, all of a sudden, it's changed its dinim. If you change its dinim, maybe it should not follow the properties of Nesham whatsoever. That means the blood goes on the mitzvah, but not on the mizbeach. That's what this pasuk comes to teach you. No, that it brings back the asham to being the regular dinim of an asham. So therefore, it also then requires matan damim legavim mizbeach, which we've seen before, that there are two kohanim that are mekabel the dam from the asham mitzorah, one in the kli that places it on the mizbeach, one into the hand that is placed on the mitzorah himself. So you see, or the principle that's established here, that the Breit is pointing out, is that if something is a subset of a larger category, and then the Torah takes it out of that category, you cannot return it to the category unless you have an explicit pasuk. Well, the explicit pasuk is this pasuk that we just quoted to be ma'akev by shechita. So that can't be what's used for. We're using that pasuk to return the asham back to its normal halachot. Where it says, im kein yichtov b'hai, velo yichtov b'hai. Wait a minute. If that's the case, then write the shechitatan b'tzafon by the mitzora, and don't write it by any other asham. Why do you twice need to know about shechita b'tzafon? I understand that you cannot learn out the asham mitzora from regular shemot because the Torah took it out of the parsha of shemot. On the other hand, I could learn regular shemot from the asham itself. So instead of writing in the Bayikra Zayin in Torah Hasham that it requires north by Shechita, I should have just written it by Mitzorah. And from Mitzorah, I would learn to all other Hashemot that it's in the north. So why do I have it also in Bayikra Zayin by Torah Hasham? That must mean that it's La'akev. So Gemara says that only works well. You can only say imkein yichtov b'hai v'lo yichtov b'hai anicha isvirlan yatzal lidon v'dvar chadash ihu d'lo gomer michlalo. That when a asham, or here in this instance, when an item leaves the general category, like here where the asham mitzorah leaves the general category of ashamot, that it cannot learn from the category anymore. It can't learn from other ashamot. On the other hand, aval klalo gomer minei. On the other hand, the general category can learn from it. Shafir. Then it works out. Ella isvirlan dlohu gamar michlolo velo klolo gamar mine. But if you hold that it's a two-way street and neither can learn from the other, Meaning that the Hashemet Zorah can't learn out from the general category of Hashemot, and the general category of Hashemot can't learn out from the Hashemet Zorah. Ha'ilu Gufa Yitzrich. So therefore, we need it for its Gufa, we need it for the Hashem itself. You can't learn anything out of this. We need you to tell me about the Hashem. Is that in the north? Because otherwise, I wouldn't know that. And you can't learn anything from that. Gemara says, no. Kevin de Hadre, Ahadre. Since it returned it to being a regular Hashem, once the Torah already told you that the Hashem Metzora now is also a regular Hashem, then you can learn from it. I mean, true, if it's Yatzal Lidom B'Dvar Chadash and it leaves the category of Hashemot, then you can't learn anything from it. But once it's left the category and then been brought back by the Pasuk, once it's brought back, then you can learn from it to the general category of Hashemot. So it's actually an important Tosfot on the bottom of the previous Amud. If that's true, that once the Torah brought the Hashem Metzora back into the category of Hashemot, then why don't we learn everything out from Hashemot? Let's require Dam on the Bohen and the Raglayim and the Ozen of everybody who brings an Hashem. I mean, if you can learn from the Hashem once it's brought back into its category, why can't you learn everything out? So there's a Tosfos at the bottom of the Torah, Mem Tedem and Aleph, it says, L'fish yetzah Hashem Metzora l'adum b'dvar chadash. So there he says, Ma shechatat Metzora tuna nesachim v'shar chataot. Over there, it's chatat Metzora v'tuna nesachim v'shar chataot ein tunin lo chashib d'var chadash. That's not considered a d'var chadash. And he says, V'chein ovi yudinim sheish karet ma she'enkei m'shar mechashvim. That's not considered a d'var chadash. And if you look, if you skip down about two lines, it says, V'zeh hikshe harav Yaakov mi'orlins elo lo karoi d'var chadash ala kesoter klalo. The only thing sometimes called a Dvar Chadash is if it undermines the general category. Ki hocha, like over here. Tishaya Shemot, kol adam le mizbeach. Over here in our situation, all the other Shemot have all the dam that ends up in the mizbeach. Ve'asham mitzorah, hadam yimeno le bel notes. Some of that dam is going on to the Shorah himself. Ugugon eshedach. It could be the same story as a brother, the wife of one's brother. The wife of one's brother, shenesru kol arayot, vizuhutra. All other arayot are permanently asur. And this one all of a sudden has a heter associated with it. That heter makes it yatzah midvar chadash because it's something that doesn't exist by the other right there. It's soter every other arayot. V'zeh devar chadash yester klo. Aval, ma shechatat mitzura tuna nesachim, enu soter michlolo el tosefeti ala karban. The fact that a chatat requires nesachim is not a devar chadash. It's a regular chatat plus. Regular chatat plus is not a devar chadash because it's not soter the kor chatat. Their kor chatat's intact. You're just adding something else on top of it. Now, v'im tomar, b'man damar klolo gamar minei, you kolor shamot tu uni matun ba'onot. Did I just point it out before? If you hold like the one who says you can learn out of the, you learn the general category from this particular category, then all Hashemot should require matan damim on the ba'onot and everywhere else, all the extras that we do for the Hashem. Yilal feinami kulu arayot me'shirach. V'yesh lomar lo gamar minei amidei delo chidesh po. That you can only learn out from it the item that's not the chidush. When you say we learn out all the item that's left the category, we can only learn out categorical items from it. We cannot learn that particular item that makes it different, that we can't learn out from it. Because then it wouldn't be a Dvar Chadash anymore. If you take the Dvar Chadash and apply it to all the other Shemot, then everybody has it, and it's no longer a Dvar Chadash. And if that's true, it would be like one of the other 13 principles of Rabbi Yishmael, which instead of being, let's say, Dom B'Dvar Chadash, you'll be the Yatzah min HaKlal is coming to teach on the Klal itself, and that's the way it would work. Over here, that's not the case. But the Tomei Dvar HaKadosh is not coming to teach about the Klal, it's coming to teach about itself. So that Chidush remains by itself. Other areas around it that are similar to the category that it can teach about. So that Tosfos is very important in Yatzah L'Dvar Dvar HaKadosh. First of all, what's the definition of Dvar HaKadosh? Is only when the Dvar HaKadosh is contrary or undermines or is in conflict with the general category. That's number one. And the second thing that's important is that when you learn, according to the opinion that says you can learn from the item that left the category, you can only learn things that are not the Dvar HaKadosh. Only the item that is not the Chidush is what you can learn from it. Anything else you can learn. And that's why over here you wouldn't learn about Matan Dam on the Bahonot and on the Ozen and all of that over to the regular Shemot, because that's the Chidush. And if that was the Chidush was taught to the cloud, then it wouldn't be a Chidush anymore. And it also would be like, called Dabar Shiyatza Min HaKlal, Lameda HaKlal Kulu Yatzam, which is not the limud that we're doing over here, because this is Dabar HaKadosh. So Tos is very important, just in the understanding of how it functions over here. Mara comes back and says, okay, Amar Le, Ma'uzutra Breid Rav Mari Le Ravina. Ema ki hadrei kra legabei matan damim ve'emurim debai kohuna. Let us say, when the pasuk comes and brings the Hashem back to being a regular Hashem, that's telling us that when it comes to matan damim and emurim, it's like a regular Hashem, because they require kihuna. Aval shchita, when it comes to shchita, the lo ba'i kihuna, lo mi ba'i tzafon, it won't require north. And why is that? So if you look in the pasuk by the Hashem Mitzara, I read it before to you, which is, it says, v'shechat et hakeves b'mkom ha'shei shechat et hachatat v'tola b'mkom ha'kodesh, ki kechatat Hashem hu lakohen. That extra word of lakohen, kodesh kodeshim hu, teaches us maybe the chatat is like the Hashem when it involves a kohen. But maybe when it doesn't involve a kohen, it's not returned. So if that's the case, then we will be talking about matan damim, we were talking about kabbalat adam, you want to talk about haktarat emurim, all those that require a kohen, they'll go back to the regular category of Hashem. But who says shchita goes back to being the regular shchita of and Hashem? Because shchita does not require a kohen. So maybe that was not returned for the Hashem, and maybe the Hashem Mitzorah does not require shchita b'tzafon. Mar says, well, if that's the case, imkei nemer kara ki kechatat hu. It should have said ki chatat hu. My kechatat ha-Hashem, kishar Hashemot yeah. The additional of the word Hashem teaches us that not only is everything like the chatat involving a kohen, but it's like everything by an Hashem. Ki kechatat ha-Hashem. It looks like every other Hashem, and every other Hashem requires north by the shchita, so to over here it requires north by the shchita. So now, if that's the case, we found ikuf for the Hashemot. We have it written once in Zotarat Hashem, and we have it then repeated in the Parsha of Hashem Mitzorah. Now, even though Hashem Mitzorah couldn't learn from the other, it can teach to the others, either because we believe the Chadash, the Chidush can teach to the others, or because once the Pasuk returned it to being a regular Hashem, then we can learn from it. It's one of those items allows us to do this, and therefore, now we have the limud for the ikuv by the Hashem. Now the Gemara says, Lama li ikshui lechatat, lama li ikshui leolah. If you look at the pasuk by the Hashem Mitzorah, it says, Shachat et hakeves bimkom, asher yishchat et hachatat ve'et olah. Why do you have to tell me that the Hashem Mitzorah should get a shchita like a chatat and like an olah? Why do I need both of them? It could either be like a chatat, or it could be like an olah. Both of them are done in the north, and if you just told me to do the shchita like you do one of those, that would be sufficient for us. Then we would have known that it belongs in the north, and it's done in the north, and that'd be fine. Why do you have to tell me both like a chatat and an olah? So Amar Ravina, itzrich, you need it. I akshe lechatat, v'lo akshe leolah. Had the Torah only made the hekesh to a chatat and not to olah, havamina. Chatat meheichan lamda. Where do we learn out chatat? The fact that you need north by the chatat, meolah. We learn it out from the fact that it says, v'shachat et chatat, bimkom haolah. So chatat is already learned out from a hekesh to olah. Well then, if that's the case, davar lamed behekesh, chuzer umelamed behekesh, but then you would have a situation in which you have a hekesh teaching you another hekesh, which is, olah is the primary source, because there it says, v'shachat oto al yerach mizbeach tzafona. Chatat is a derivative of that. It's a hekesh from that, because it says, v'shachat et chatat bimkom olah. And then had you just written chatat by the Hashem, you would say, v'shachat et hakeves bimkom asher yishchat et chatat. That means the Hashem Mitzorah is a hekesh to chatat. That is a double hekesh. And since when, davar lemeid behekesh, chozer melemeid behekesh, since when can you have a double hekesh teach you? So, amalei marzucha brei de ramari l'ravina v'nikshe le'olah. Lo nikshe le'chatat. I have a simple solution for you. You answered why they couldn't just write chatat by itself. So fine, don't compare the Hashem Mitzorah to the chatat, compare it to the primary source, the olah. And that would mean that chatat and Hashem are both learned out straight from Allah. Allah, the primary source, is Shechat Auto Al Yerach Amizbeach Tzafona. Then Allah, Chatat will be learned out for Shechat Et Chatat Bimkom Allah. And then Hashem Mitzorah, Hashem will be learned out for Shechat Et Hakeves Bimkom Asher Yishchat Et Olah. And now you have one Hekesh for each of them. Each one, the Chatat and the Hashem, is Hukash to the Olah. And therefore you don't have a double Hekesh. So I understand why you can't just write Chatat over here. But what I don't understand from your answer is, why can't we just write Ha'olah, which is what it did in the original puzzle of the Hashemot. It says, that's what it does over here. So why by Hashem Mitzorah do I need both Chatat and Olah? That's the question posed by Mazutra to Ravina. So it says, I would have thought, If you were right, and we just wrote Allah, I would have thought that the din is, or the Torah could have learned it from Chatat. And it works. Double Hekeshim work. So then if you say if it does, if a double Hekesh works, then why didn't the Torah write Chatat instead of Allah? The Torah preferred, it was took a preference to connect the Asham to the primary source, the Allah, than to connect it to the Chatat. So therefore, the Hachi Akshay the Chatat, the Akshay the Olah. So the reason the Torah connected the Hashem and Torah to both the Chatat and the Olah is to come to teach you. The Meimar, Davar Amel Behekesh, She'enu Chuzer, Umla Behekesh. This is the source, as Rashi says, the Chol Torah Kula. That's how we know. Everywhere in the Torah where we say Kodshim, you can't do Hekesh Lehekesh, this is the source. Hashem and Torah is the source. And Hashem and Torah is the source because it says, V'shachat El Kevis, V'kom Asher Yishchat Et Chatat, V'et Olah. It brings down both Chatat and Olah to show us that yes, you could have done it Be'olah by itself, but despite that fact, the Torah comes and writes Chatat to tell you it couldn't have written Chatat by itself. It couldn't have written Chatat by itself because it needs the Olah, because you can't do Hekesh Lehekesh. Had it just written Olah, I wouldn't have known that information. Now that it's Olah and Chatat, it teaches me this din that Chatat could not have stood alone, and I required Olah because Ein Osim Hekesh Lehekesh, or Ein Davar Lameid Behekesh, Chozer Malameid Behekesh by Kodashim. And that's what Ravina says. This is the source for that throughout the Torah.
So the explanation itself teaches us the din.
Exactly. Rabba Amar Mihocha. Rabba says this din that Davar Lameid Behekesh Eino Chuzer Malameid Behekesh comes from here. Dichtiv. It says by Karb Kohen Mashiach. Right, we have to wake up the little memory. We did this last week. It says by the Karb Kohen Mashiach Kasher Yuram Mishur Zevach Hashlamim. It says when it comes to the fats of the Karb Kohen Mashiach, it says what do you have to do with them? Well, in the Vayikra Dalet, when it talks about the Karb Kohen Mashiach, it lays out exactly what you do with all the fats. It talks about all the items go on to the Mizbeach, including the Chelev HaChatat, the Chaliv HaMechaseh HaKerev, the Shtei HaKlayot, the Chelev HaShem, the Ksalim, the Yoteret HaKaved. It lists everything explicitly. And then it has this final pasuk that says, Kasher Yuram Yizdor Zevach HaShlamim. Like you did it from the Zevach HaShlamim. Well, what do you need Zevach HaShlamim for here? Everything's explicit in Karb Kohen Mashiach. Why did you tell me, oh, just like you do it by the Shlamim? You already know. The information is laid out for you over here. So why do I do that? What is it here for? If you're coming to tell me to add on the Yoteret HaKaved and Shtei Klayot, it's already written explicitly in the Pasuk. So now we have a problem. And that problem is the problem that we dealt with in the back couple of dapim. What happens when you want to learn something out of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur? For instance, you have Si'irei Avodat Kochavim. Si'irei Avodat Kochavim are learned out from the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur through a Hekesh. So since it's learned out through a Hekesh, that means that everything that's written in Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur will move over to the Si'irei Avodat Kochavim. Now, how do we know by Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur that the Chalavim of the Shtei HaKlayot and the Yoteret HaKaved end up on a Mizbeach? Well, that's learned out from a Hekesh from Par Kohen Mashiach. So the Par Helam Davar itself only learns out that you need Shtei HaKlayot and Yoteret HaKaved from a Hekesh to Par Kohen Mashiach. And then it's going to teach us about Si'irei Avodat Kochavim from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur by Hekesh. Well, that's a Hekesh to a Hekesh. So that's a problem now. Mishum debay gemur yoteret hakavei shtei klayot mi par helam davar shel tzibur the siyav dat kochavim big gufei lo ktiv. In par helam davar shel tzibur there is no shtei klayot yoteret hakavei. Umi par kohen mashiach hu degomar. And we learn it out from par kohen mashiach. Lahachi itzrich, that's why we need the pasuk kasher yuram. If it's written literally in the parsha of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, that's from Be'enu Inyan. We don't need it by Par Kohen Mashiach because it's explicit in the parsha of Par Kohen Mashiach. So what is the Kasher Yuram teaching us? The Kasher Yuram is Zevach HaShlamim. It comes to teach us that it's as if it's written in the parsha of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Be'enu Inyan Par Kohen Mashiach. It's nailed the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. And now it's as if it's explicitly written in the parsha of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Shtei Klayot. Well, now if it's explicitly written in the parsha Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, I can learn out the Si'irei Avodat Kochavim from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur because that's only one hekesh, not two.
We've seen this before.
Yes, we have seen it before. We had it before, and that's what Rashi points out over here. What you're asking, and Tosfos also points it out over here. This is only according to Tanan de Bei Rav. Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, if you remember back, Perek Beit Shammai, on Mem Aleph, we said that Tana de Beit Shmuel says, Lapar. Lapar means Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. The Gemara asked over there, what do I need Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur? We're in the Parsha of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Why do you need Par to tell me Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur? So Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel comes to told us that it's to teach us that if it's explicitly, everything we learn from other Hekeshot to Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur is if it's literally written there. So they already solved the problem. Tana de Beit Shmuel already solved the problem by having that word, the Par, double everything that's written in Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur to if it's been written. So according to Tana de Beit Shmuel, they don't need our Gemara over here. They don't need what Rav is saying over here. This is only according to the Tana de Beit Rav. In the Tana de Beit Rav, they said the word Lapar comes to teach you about Par Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, they don't have a doubling. They don't have a rewriting of everything that is there. We did say by Sirei Oder Chachamim, there's a possibility of answering that there's a double Hekesh. It's Nuk Mukash, both in the Parsha of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, as well as in the Parsha of Sirei Oder Chachamim, there's a Hekesh to Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, and we said maybe the double Hekesh can overcome it. This is a third alternative to about how you have it be literally written in the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. And so this sugi is only according to those that don't have that answer that we found back in the in Perek Beit Shammai. Tana Beit Shmuel doesn't need it. And even according to Tana Beit Rav, if you think there's a double Hekesh, they may not need it. But others who do need it, this is the solution to it being literally written in Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Well, what does that do for us? That teaches us, or that helps us make it, that it will not be a double hekesh. Let me have a simple solution. Why don't you just write it in Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur? Why does the Torah write it up in Par Kohen Mashiach? And then we have to do Eino Inyan Lezeh, Tenel De Inyan Lezeh. Just write it in Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. You won't have any problems. So, Ikata Begufei Velo Akish. Had it been literally written in the Parsha of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, and I didn't learn it out of a Hekesh from Par Kohen Mashiach, Havamina, then I would have thought, Damar Alamei Behekesh, Chozer Malamei Behekesh, that when it comes to a Hekesh, you can use a double Hekesh. V'chi Tema Nakshe Akushe. Well, you say, then go ahead and make a Hekesh. Why do you need the extra Pasuk when Kar Asher Yuram V'sor Zevach HaShlamim? So, Nechle Dichtevei Bekufei, Makesh Le Bekushe. It was better to write it, they'd rather write it, the Torah preferred to write it literally in the Parsha of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur than learn it out of Hekesh. But we wouldn't know anything about the Davar Lamed Behekesh, Chozer Malamed Behekesh. The Chacha Katvei Va'akshei. Therefore, the Torah gives you both Limudim, the Hekesh between Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur and the Par Goyim Mashiach, and they literally being written in the Pasuk of Kasher Yuram Mishur Zevach HaShlamim, the Memra, to teach you Davar Lamed Behekesh, Enu Chozer Malamed Behekesh. That comes to teach you that Hekesh won't work here. That's why you need both of them. So similar to what we did before with Ravina, Rava is doing over here. Eino Chanami, you could have written it explicitly in the Parsha Par Helam Dover Tzibur and avoided all of this problem. But had you done that, we wouldn't know any information about Hekesh. We wouldn't know if you had a double Hekesh, whether it works or doesn't work. The Torah just preferred to write it in the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, just wrote the words, you know, Kasher Yuram, Shur Zevach Shlamim. If you wrote it there, everything would be fine. We'd know nothing about Hekesh. The fact that it's written by the Parsha of Koran Paragoin Mashiach, and we also learn out of a Hekesh for Paragoin Mashiach, teaches us that the Hekesh doesn't work. And when we know that the Hekesh doesn't work, that teaches us an important principle, which is, Davar Lamed Hekesh, Enu Chozer Malamed Bekesh. And this is the source, according to Rava, B'chol Torah Kula. The source of Kola Torah Kula, that we know that this doesn't work, Hekesh can't teach another Hekesh in Kodoshim, that comes from Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, the derivative of the Shteya Klayot, Yoter Tekaved, from Par Kohen Mashiach to Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur over to Sirei Avodei Chachamim. That fact that we couldn't do that through a Hekesh teaches us that Ein Davar Lamed Behekesh, Chozer Malamed Behekesh.
How do you read the last line? V'hachi Kasvei.
Therefore, in Par Kohen Mashiach, it did both. It gave you the Hekesh, because the word Lapar, Vasal Lapar, Kashel Asal Lapar Chatat, refers back to Par Kohen Mashiach, so you have a Hekesh to Par Kohen Mashiach. And Katvei, it wrote it literally in Par Kohen Mashiach, which is Kasher Yuram, Mishur Zevach HaShlamim. So it did both, to show you that even though there is a Hekesh, the Hekesh doesn't work, and that's why you have to write it literally, to tell you that the Hekesh doesn't work. Right now, the Gemara says, Davar Meim Hekesh, Inu Chozer Malamim Hekesh, Imi de Rava, Imi de Ravina. That principle we establish either from Rava, which we just saw, or from Ravina before that we saw by the Asham Mitzorah. So now, the Gemara is going to test, and it's going to go through all the way through tomorrow's daf, other forms of Limudim, whether you're allowed to extrapolate them in Kodoshim. So let's start here. What's the first one? Davar Lamed Behekesh. Something that is learned through a Hekesh. Ma'u Shilamed B'Gzera Shava. Is it allowed then to teach through a Gezeira Shavah? So Tashma, let's see, we have a case like this. Rabbi Natan ben Avtulamus Omer, Minayin lepricha bibegadim shehi Torah. How do you know when it comes to Tzarat, if the Tzarat spreads over the entire Beged, that it's Tehorah? We know that by Negei Basar, that if it spreads over the entire body, then it's, if it ties up the Negas Bekola Basar, then Tahor who? Then it's Tahor. So how do we know that also applies to Negei Begadim? That if it spreads out over the whole Beged, then it's also Torah. So Ne'amar Karachat V'Gabachat Begadim, Ne'amar Karachat V'Gabachat Be'adam. And that is because the words Karachat and Gabachat are used by Begadim, and Karachat and Gabachat are used by Adam. Now the Targum of Karachat and Gabachat by Begadim means new and old. And Karachat and Gabachat are types of Nige'e Adam when it comes to the Rosh and the Zakan. When it comes to ones, they're the what they're called Nige'e Nitkim. These are the Nige'im that affect the head and the beard. There it says Karachat v'Gabachat. So that is a Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava says means just like by Nigei Arosh Razakan, we have this idea of Parach Bikulo is Tahor. So too, by Bigadim, Parach Bikulo is Tahor. Malahalan Parach Bikulo Torah, Kan Parach Bikulo Torah, Bahata Minolan. Well, wait a minute. How do you know Parach Bikulo is Tahor by Nitkin, by the Rosh and the Zakan? Dichtiv, because it says by Nigei Or HaBasar, by Nigei Barsar, it says Mirosho V'ad Raglav. V'itkish Rosho the Regel. Malahalan kulo afachlavan, parach bekulo tahor. Afkan kulo afachlavan, parach bekulo tahor. So the fact that you know by the Rosh and the Zakan that parach bekulo is tahor, that's not written in the parsha of the Nitkin. It's not written in the parsha of the Nigei Zakan and the Nigei Rosh. It's actually written in the parsha of Nigei Or HaBasar, and they're actually different. Nigei Or HaBasar are different than Nigei Rosh V'Zakan. For instance, the Simenei Tumah are different. By Nigei Or HaBasar, you need white hairs in order to make it Tamei. Whereas Nigei Rosh V'Zakan, you need yellow hairs to make it Tamei. So there is a difference between them. How do we know it? Well, by the Parsha of Nigei Or HaBasar is where the Torah actually tells us that if it spreads over the whole body, you are Tahor. So now we have to get it from Nigei Or HaBasar over to Nigei Rosh V'Zakan. How do we do that? We do that because by the Nigei Or HaBasar, it says, Mirosho V'ad Raglav. And Mirosho V'ad Raglav is somewhat extraneous over there because it says, Uparach B'kol HaBasar. It says over there in the Parsha that it spread over his whole body. So then why do you need to tell me also Mirosho V'ad Raglav? Mirosho Raglav comes to teach me a Hekesh. That just like the Regel is covered over here, so too Rosho. But Rosho is a specific type of Nega. Specific type of Nega is Nigei Arosh V'Zakan. And so therefore we do it through a Hekesh. That means Parach B'Kulo Tahor is written by Nigei Or HaBasar. Through a Hekesh of Mirosho V'ad Raglav, I move that over to the Nigaim of Rosh V'Zakan. From there, I now apply it to Begadim through a Gezeirah Shavah. I say Karachat Gabachat that is written by Rosh V'Zakan, Karachat Barachat written by Begadim, Gezeirah Shavah, that's how I learn it. That means that I just learned out the fact that Parach B'Kulo Tahor by Begadim, I learned that out from Gezeirah Shavah from Rosh V'Zakan, which learned it out from a Hekesh from Or HaBasar. Well, that's exactly our question over here. Davar Lamei B'Hekesh, Ma'u Shila Mei B'Gzeir Shavah. We have something that was learned through a Hekesh, and now is teaching through Gzeir Shavah.
What do I learn from the Hekesh? If the whole head is has the netzek, so then he's the whole.
Yeah.
Even though it's not the whole body, it's only the head.
I assume so. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'chol HaTorah L'meidim, L'meid Min L'meid. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't understand. We know that Kol HaTorah Kula, you can be Lamed Mihekesh, Chozer Melamed Behekesh. It's only in Kodashim that it's not permitted. Rabbi and Ravina just brought us examples, and those are examples in Kodashim, and the restriction is only in Kodashim. Now we ask the question about what happens if you have a Hekesh, and then you want to be Melamed B'Gzer Shavah. So you brought me a proof from Tzarat. Tzarat is Kol HaTorah Kula. So in Ochanami it works in Kol HaTorah Kula. Just like Hekesh LaHekesh works Kol HaTorah Kula, so do Hekesh L'Gzer Shavah works Kol HaTorah Kula. You haven't shown me anything about Kodashim. And our question is about Kodashim over here. Chutz min HaKodashim, she'in dar min lamed min lamed. Except for Kodashim, where you can't have Hekesh LaHekesh. So do over here. What are you teaching me? You're not giving me an answer to the question I asked. The question I asked is, in Kodashim, what's the din of a Hekesh to a Gzer Shavah? You brought me an example from Tzarat. That's not Hekesh. That's Tzarat. So then, Rabbi Yochanan brings an example, and he says, I'll show you that it doesn't work. Dimkein, lo yomar tzfona be'asham, detete b'zer shova de kodshe kodoshim mechatot. So if that's the case, it shouldn't say tzfon be'asham at all. And we'll have a b'zer shova from the words kodshe kodoshim by the chatot. Why is that? Because by the chatat it says, Daber al Aron ve'al benav le'mor zo torat ha'chatat b'mkom asher tishchayet ha'olah tishchayet ha'chatat b'fnei Hashem kodesh kodoshim hu. And then in Vayikra Zayin, in Tzav, it says about the Hashem, it says, Zotarat Hashem, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu. So it says, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu by the Hashem. It says, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu by the Chatat. So say, whatever din applies to the Chatat will apply to the Hashem through Gzeirah Shavah. And we know that the Chatat is Shechted B'Tzafon, because it says, Zotarat HaChatat B'mkom, Asher Tishachet HaOlah, Tishachet HaChatat. So that teaches you, from a Hekesh, from Olah, Olah B'Tzafon, Chatat B'Tzafon. So now I have a Hekesh, and it would be Choser Malameh through a Gzeir Shava to Hashem. The fact that the Torah doesn't do that, and explicitly says in the next pasuk of the Hashem, B'mkom Asher Yishchatu HaTolah, Yishchatu HaHashem, tells you that the Torah doesn't allow that to happen. It doesn't work. Hekesh to Gzeir Shava is not going to work in Kodeshim. Otherwise, it should have used it over here. Now, what's interesting over here, there are a number of interesting things. One is that, where did Rabbi Yochanan have this Gzeir Shava? He made up a Gzeir Shava? I mean, we don't have this Gzeir Shava, Kodeshim Kodeshim. And Tosus makes him even more extreme. He says, Tamer de Kafina and Gzeir Shava me Hadadi, Lama la Hekeshot de El, Bechatat Vasham. If you're going to do that, what do you need all these Hekeshot of Chatat Vasham? If there really is such a Gzeir Shava, then why do I need all of these other things that I'm learning from Chatat Hashem? Say it once, and that'll teach me you can't learn out generally Gzeir Shava. So, what this Gzeir Shava is, and why he came up with this Gzeir Shava, it's not clear to me in the Gemara here, but Rav Yochanan either had a Masorah there was such a Gzeir Shava, or he said we could have had such a Gzeir Shava. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying, but, because it would create a lot of problems to have this Gzeir Shava. Alright, so then he says, Dilma, Mishom, de Iko de Mifrach. No, maybe the Gzeir Shava wouldn't work, because, Malachatach, came Mechaperet al Chavei Kritot. That we could have learned it out through a Gzeir Shava. But in this case, the Gzeir Shava fails because we have a question on the logic of the Gzeir Shava. The Gzeir Shava won't work because Chatat is Mechaper al Kritut, and we can't learn from Chatat over to Hashem. Now, generally, we say Gzeir Shava is not subject to logic. Gzeir Shava supersedes logic, and it doesn't matter. That's only true according to some deyot if it's Mufneh. If the Gzeir Shava, the words that are used in Gzeir Shava are extraneous. If they are mufneh, then you can't ask any logical questions on it. On the other hand, if they're not mufneh, mean that the words are needed, but they're still gzeir shava, the gzeir shava is subject to logic. So that's the case over here. Kodshei kodeshim over here are necessary. We don't know that they're extraneous. And therefore, the gzeir shava will be tested by logic. And logic says that it shouldn't work, because chatat mechaper on kvitut, and that why should you teach to Hashem from there? So Rabbi Yochanan, your proof isn't a good proof, because we wouldn't have been able to learn the gzeir shava anyway. So Gemara says, no, kodshei kodeshim yiterek tive. That's not true. Over here, they're extraneous, and they're mufneh. So the gzeir shava would have been learned irrespective of any logic. Why are they mufneh? As Rashi teaches you, it's the last Rashi on the Amud. He says, "V'havala gzeir shava mufneh mishnei tzadim." Now it's a gzeir shava that's open on both sides. The words are extraneous in both locations. Ve'im yishivin aleh, and therefore logic is superseded. We don't ask any questions on it. Kabi chatat k'tiv tishachet chatat kodesh kodeshim hu. That's what we just read before. V'sham k'tiv zotrat hasham kodesh kodeshim hu. That's a gzeir shava that we read. So now, why are these extraneous? Because in Parshat Shlach it says, "U'b'tavayu k'tiv bayikach korach lo." Alright, so there it says about the matnot kuna that the chatat and the Hashem will be for the Kohanim, and it calls them kodesh kodeshim. So you see that already Hashem and chatat already called kodesh kodeshim. So therefore, when it's mentioned here in Tzav by Torah chatat and Torah Hashem, they're totally extraneous. If they are totally extraneous, it's mufneh, means they're open for gzeir shava. That gzeir shava supersedes logic, and we don't ask any questions. So now we're back to saying that Rabbi Yochanan's right. You could have learned this out of gzeir shava. It didn't learn it out of a gzeir shava. The fact that it didn't learn out of a gzeir shava is because chatat was already learned from a hekesh from Olah. And that shows you that in kodeshim, you can't take a hekesh and then have it be melameh through a gzeir shava. And that's Rabbi Yochanan's proof. Despite the fact that by mitzvah it works, so is chulin. There it can work. But over here by Kodeshim, it doesn't work, and that's why the Torah went out of its way to specifically write by Hashem that you need to do it like the Olah, because you couldn't learn it through the Gzeirah Shavah. Okay, we'll stop over here.